Well, as you can see there on your message guide tonight, we're going to continue our journey through Acts. And tonight we return to the city of Antioch of Pisidia. Again, this is the second leg of Paul's first missionary journey. And it was there in Antioch of Pisidia where Paul and Barnabas were given the extraordinary opportunity to preach the gospel in its entirety, a full three-point outlined message there in a Jewish synagogue. And the stirring question that Paul left in their minds, as well as in ours, as we considered last Sunday, is what will you do with Jesus? When he described the provision of Christ, the promise of Christ, and all of these things about Christ, he asked, what will you do with him? Well, as we've already seen, many of those who attended that service in the synagogue did do something with Jesus. Many did believe him and his message of salvation, and they wanted to hear more. But, as we also learned, not everyone was thrilled with the message preached. But that didn't keep Paul and Barnabas from continuing to share the unchanging good news of Jesus Christ because they were not ashamed of that gospel. Just as Paul wrote to the Roman Christians in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." They were not ashamed. In fact, by God's grace and through his strength, they remained steadfast and courageous through it all. And that needs to be our attitude as well toward the gospel and God's word: steadfast, courageous, not ashamed. And so we see their courage, first of all, as they remained not ashamed in Antioch. It's our first point there, which we read about in the last part of chapter 13, verses 44 through 52. But here we come in verse 44, where just 1 week after that first message was preached, Paul and Barnabas were given another opportunity, verse 44, and the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. What an opportunity, again. But along with that opportunity came a further obstacle, which we find in verse 45. But when the Jews, now they had a whole week to think about this message. They had a whole week to think about what they thought of Paul and Barnabas. And they didn't think too highly of them. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy and spake against those things which were spoken by Paul, contradicting and even blaspheming. So not everyone was open to Paul's message of grace, especially those envious and jealous Jews in Antioch. We even see the motive for their jealousy. It says, when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. So those particular Jews were not even focused on the truth of God's word. We read earlier in chapter 13 that the law and the prophets were opened every Sabbath day, but they clearly ignored the word that was being taught there. They were not focused on the truth of the word of God, but they were rather focused on the threat posed to them by Paul and Barnabas and their message of the gospel. You see, these Jews, again, the dispersion that took place over the years. Jews can be found all over the Roman Empire and even beyond its borders. But these Jews had been in Antioch establishing their community, establishing their synagogues, and they'd been there for years trying to get Gentiles to convert to their Jewish religion and their way of life, and they really only had a handful of followers. These were those God-fearers, those Gentile God-fearers that were in the synagogues, and they weren't necessarily fully engulfed in the Jewish tradition and doctrine, but they were getting closer and getting closer. But they only had a few of those. But now Paul and Barnabas have only been there for a week, and look how many were coming back to hear him at their own synagogue. Again, the scripture says, almost the whole city together come to hear the word of God. What an opportunity, but what an obstacle. Those jealous Jews became a great obstacle for Paul and Barnabas to overcome. And this is not the only time and the only place. It's going to continue on wherever they go. And what we learn is that there may be great obstacles for us to overcome as well. May not be the same kind of obstacles that Paul faced. But when it comes to sharing God's word in the gospel, we do not need to be ashamed, no matter who we face, no matter what obstacle is confronting us, because we still also have a further obligation. A further obligation which we find in verses 46 and 47 of chapter 13. where it says, "Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold." So even though these Jews are jealous, even though they're envious of their success, they continue to wax bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you," referring to those Jews, "and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." And in doing so, they leave the synagogue as well. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." So even when we face obstacles like Paul and Barnabas, we still have this same obligation. We must not let anything or anyone stop our mouths from declaring that testimony of God. In fact, in verse 47, Paul quotes an Old Testament verse from Isaiah 49:6, which is sometimes called the Old Testament's Great Commission. Again, look at verse 47. "For so hath the Lord commanded us, saying," here's that the word from Isaiah, "I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." So here we have Paul and Barnabas taking this to heart, taking this commission personally, recognizing that God is going to use them now to not just share the gospel to the Jewish nation, but to all the Gentiles wherever they went. We must not be ashamed. However, we need to also remember that even though some will reject the gospel, like the Jews there in Antioch, others will respond and believe. And that's what we see next in verses 48 and 49, which is a further occasion. Verse 48, "And when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad." These weren't just those who were trying to learn more about God in the synagogue. These were the Gentiles from throughout the whole city, from around this region. They were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord. "And as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region." So there were two opposite reactions to that same message. And again, there's so many parallels with our own circumstances, in our own churches, in our own communities. Two opposite reactions. The Jews were jealous and they did not believe, but many of the Gentiles were glad and they did believe. Because, again, verse 48, "as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." The Lord had people in that city. If you remember, this echoes again what the Lord says later on here when Paul goes to the city of Corinth. And he's afraid, perhaps because of a lot of things that are going on in this area, here in Antioch and eventually Iconium and Lystra and Derbe, even to the point where he's left for dead. So he's afraid. But once again, God reassures Paul and says, "I have much people in this city of Corinth." He had much people in this city of Antioch. He has much people in this place, that place, or the other. "And as many as are ordained, directed by God to eternal life, will believe." But the thing is, Paul and Barnabas did not know who would respond in faith, did they? They had no idea. They went to all of these cities not knowing what they would face or who they would meet. They didn't know who would respond in faith, and neither do we. But God always does. God knows because He chooses them, just like He chose us. We read that in Psalm 65 this morning, and He even appoints us to eternal life. And you know that gives us a great motive for sharing the message of the gospel, just like it did for Paul, and just like it did for Barnabas. Because the truth is, God still has many who are yet to come into His family. We know this because we're still here. We still exist. The church is still present in this world as a light to all men about the gospel. And that's why we must not be ashamed to keep sharing the gospel, because as fishers of men, there are still more fish in the sea of this world to catch. We don't know who they are, but God does. And God unites those who preach the gospel with those who will believe the gospel to raise up churches wherever we go. So there may still be great occasions like this. And would to God that as we meet people along the way, we meet people that God has ordained to eternal life. And they will believe as we present the gospel to them. That's why we need to continue to spread the net of the gospel as widely as possible. This is why in our Good News Clubs and our nursing home services and wherever else the Lord opens the door, we need to walk through it and not be ashamed. We don't know when our opportunities will come to an end, just like it did for Paul and Barnabas there in the city of Antioch, because eventually it did come to an end. In verse 50, we read of a further offense by those Jews who did not believe. But the Jews stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas and then expelled them out of their coasts. So in spite of relative success there in Antioch, there was no change in those jealous Jews. They still wanted the success and not Paul and Barnabas. Instead, they persuaded others to join them and persecute and get rid of Paul and Barnabas. And now the door to Antioch was closed to them. But what did they do? Just like we saw in Cyprus, just like we saw in other places where Paul and Barnabas have gone, they didn't just tuck their tail between their legs and go back home to the other Antioch where they were sent from. No, they kept on moving forward. When the Lord closed one door, they believed that God would open another door. After all, that's why they were sent. So they kept on moving. And so in verses 51 and 52, it says that they shook off the dust of their feet against them, those Jews there in Antioch of Pisidia, and they came unto another city known as Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Ghost. So even after Paul and Barnabas left, the believers that were there were still filled with joy, in spite of the persecution that they perhaps were going to go through as well. Now, verse 51 is a curious verse. It talks about how they shook off the dust of their feet against those Jews there in Antioch. What we see from this is that in ancient times, when a devout Jew would travel to a foreign country, as they crossed the borders into Israel on their return home, they would literally stop, take off their sandals, and shake off all the dust from those Gentile lands from their feet. The reason why is because they did not want to desecrate their promised sacred land of Israel with the dust and dirt and grime from a foreign and a godless land. Well, when Paul and Barnabas did this, they didn't do it as pious Jews. They did it as messengers of the gospel. But what they did was something that these pious Jews who were jealous of them would know clearly what they meant. They were showing to those unbelieving Jews that they were no different than the unbelieving Gentiles there in Antioch. It didn't matter if they were the children of Abraham. It didn't matter if their homeland was Israel. It didn't matter. They were in the same spiritual state and condition as the unbelieving Gentiles. And now it was time for Paul and Barnabas to move on. But they were still not ashamed. So we read next in the first seven verses of chapter 14 how Paul and Barnabas were not ashamed in the next city of Iconium. Iconium was about 90 miles away, and the Lord opens another great door of opportunity for the gospel. Today, the modern city of Konya in Turkey is built over the lost remains of ancient Iconium. But upon their arrival, God once again blesses the ministry of the gospel, just like he did in Antioch. At first, in Antioch, there was great interest and great success. And we're going to see the same thing take place here in Iconium. And so at the very beginning, there was great delight in the gospel. Because, verse 1 of chapter 14, it came to pass there in Iconium that they went both together, Paul and Barnabas, into the synagogue of the Jews, as was their habit to do, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. So again, the Lord blesses the ministry of Paul and Barnabas. And perhaps Paul and Barnabas thought it would be different there in Iconium than in Antioch. Maybe this is going to be the beginning of a great awakening. Perhaps after reading verse 1, we would even think, if only the story could end there. On a positive note, many Jews, many Gentiles, all across the city, believed in the gospel. What a great ending that would have been. But as in Antioch, there remained in Iconium, verse 2, disobedience to the gospel. You realize the gospel is a command. It is meant to be obeyed. When the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it is in the imperative. Someone must believe. in order to be saved. And these unbelieving Jews and unbelieving Gentiles disobeyed that gospel, verse 2. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil affected against the brethren. So although there were many Jews and Greeks who believed the gospel message, others still remained unbelieving of both Jews and Gentiles. So now a mixed population in that city of Iconium. And the word unbelieving here is an interesting word because it doesn't just mean to not have faith. This particular word means to refuse to be persuaded. To refuse to be persuaded. You see, those Jews there in that synagogue in Iconium, they heard the message from Paul, much like the Jews in Antioch. They knew their history, their Jewish history. They knew their scriptures. But when the truth was finally presented to them about the gospel, so clearly and so completely as Paul and Barnabas could do, they willfully chose to reject the message about Jesus. They did not believe, but they chose to not believe. You see, when the gospel is preached, there will still be many who disobey the gospel. They will still refuse to believe, but that does not take away our opportunity and our obligation. But there can still be further defiance to the gospel as well. It didn't stop here. Iconium keeps getting worse and worse. Those unbelieving Jews, instead of keeping their opinions to themselves, what do? They spread their poison and intolerance to all those around them. It says they stirred up the Gentiles, made their minds evil affected against the brethren. Paul, Barnabas, all the believers that were there. They used their influence and power to turn the minds of the Gentiles against them. And the truth is, whenever the gospel is preached, there still may be this open defiance to the gospel. And I think we see this more and more today, where unbelievers will actively and openly try to influence others to reject God and His gospel. But what can we do when we are faced with this kind of opposition? Well, the same thing Paul and Barnabas does there in verse 3. In spite of that disobedience to the gospel, in spite of that defiance to the gospel, verse 3, long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So, what did Paul and Barnabas do? They kept sharing the gospel. In spite of the disobedience, in spite of the defiance, they kept on sharing the gospel with even more conviction and even more courage. They were not ashamed. They did not leave. They did not stay quiet. We'd like to think that a great awakening was about to take place. I mean, after all, they spent a lot of time there, a long time. But the hearts of those unbelievers were still hard. We see that again, there can still be division to this gospel. You know that the gospel does divide? The truth of the gospel does divide. Verse 4, it happened in that city, it happened in that community. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews, in part with the apostles. There's a great division between the believers and the unbelievers. This is really an illustration of the division and even the intolerance that comes when the gospel light shines in the darkness of this world. The intolerance is not from the light. The intolerance is from the darkness and the disobedience. When the gospel is preached, it may still lead to division. It does so within countries. Haven't we seen this in our study through the life of Martin Luther and really all of church history? It has divided countries. It divides communities. Sometimes it divides between friends and even between families. Perhaps it has affected yours in the same way. But even further, there can be danger with that gospel. We see this danger in verses 5 and 7 as they are wrapping up their ministry in Iconium. Because it says, when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. So this division turned into danger for Paul and Barnabas and the brethren because a large mob gets together to search for them to try to kill them by stoning. And that mob was made up of both Jews and Gentiles, all who did not believe in Christ. Isn't it interesting that people that are often enemies or may not like each other a whole lot will unite themselves together to get rid of the gospel? Like that old saying, The enemy of my enemy is my friend. And so that's what happened there in Iconium. That's what happened there in Antioch. It's what's going to happen wherever Paul and Barnabas and other gospel preachers go. And so now the lives of Paul and Barnabas are in mortal danger, and the reaction in Iconium turned out to be worse than the reaction in Antioch. At first there was such great hope, possibly a great awakening, but it turned out so much worse. So again, what does Paul and Barnabas do? Here another door is closed to them. What are they going to do? Are they going to head back and tell their sending church that we can't go to these places? They're not listening. They're not learning. There's so many divisions that are taking place. No, they kept on going. They moved on again. And we're going to see the next couple of cities next week. Verse 6 and 7, it says, they were aware of it, praise God. So they moved on quickly, and they fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about, and there they kept on preaching the gospel. So when the gospel is preached, it may even lead to great danger. After all, remember what Jesus said in Matthew 5:11, there in the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Our desire is for the gospel to penetrate hearts and lives like it first did in both Antioch and Iconium. But we must not be surprised when there are other reactions to the gospel, like disobedience and defiance, division, and even danger. Because as Galatians 5:11 tells us, there still is an offense to the cross of Christ. But we still must not be ashamed of it. Instead, let any opposition that you face, by God's grace and through His strength, propel you further in the sharing of the gospel of Christ, as it did for Paul, as it did for Barnabas. Just because one person turns away or rejects that gospel tract or gospel of John that you hand them, don't let it dissuade you from handing out some more. Do not be ashamed. Verse 7, Paul and Barnabas continue to preach the gospel. So how do we do this? Well, I'd like us to close by listening and remembering some of the last words of Paul, which he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:12. It echoes Romans 1:16. He wrote, for the which cause I also suffer these things. He went through a lot of suffering wherever he went on these missionary journeys. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Our faith and our hope in the Lord is what will help us to not be ashamed of His gospel. Let's close in prayer. Gracious Father, I thank you again for the opportunity that we've had to go on this journey a little bit with Paul and Barnabas. And I know that we have gone quite a ways, quite a few miles away from Jerusalem, where we first started out in Acts chapter 1. And we've been to a lot of places, we've met a lot of people, we've seen a lot of conflict, but we've also seen great success. But Lord, we're thankful that you also used men like Paul and Barnabas, as well as other godly members of your church, both men and women, both young and old, both Jews and Gentiles, both bond and free, because they were not ashamed of that gospel. And so, Lord, even though we would love to see great success, great awakenings take place wherever we go and with whomever we speak, Lord, help us not to be surprised when we do face opposition like Paul and Barnabas did, like Peter did, like we all have. But Father, I pray that you'll help us tonight and the rest of this week to not be ashamed. To not be ashamed. Because we know that this gospel that saved us is the power of God. It is powerful to change lives and hearts. And so, Father, I ask that this week as we go our separate ways and we meet with different people, that, Lord, we will not be ashamed to stand up for the truth. to stand up for Jesus, to share that gospel of your grace, spreading and casting that net so widely, because, Lord, we know that you know who are yours. And so we spread that net with confidence, knowing that you will bring to faith those whom you've appointed. And Father, I pray that you'll help us to see the joy that can come from even a single sinner that repents of their sin and trusts in Jesus Christ alone for salvation from their sin. And so, Lord, help us to not be ashamed. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.